Here is the question that trips up more student pilots than almost anything else on the knowledge test. What is the minimum visibility required to fly visual flight rules? And the answer that earns partial credit is 3 statute miles. The answer that earns full credit is, it depends on what airspace you're flying in. And the answer that actually makes you a better pilot is understanding why the number changes. IM pattern. This is traffic pattern on radio hangar. And today we are going to walk through Federal Aviation Regulation 9155, the VFR weather minimums, in a way that makes the logic visible. Because when you first look at this table in the Federal Aviation Administration's Aeronautical Information Manual, it looks like a spreadsheet designed by someone who genuinely wanted to confuse you. 6 rows, 4 columns, different numbers for day and night. For high altitude and low altitude, for controlled and uncontrolled airspace. But once you understand the reason behind each set of numbers, the table starts to hold together, and that is what we are going to do before we get into it. Quick shout out to aviationsoul.com. Challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private, instrument, commercial, all of it, real physical things you can hold. I have seen students go into their check ride with that first solo coin in their pocket like it is a lucky charm. Honestly, I think it is more than that. It is a reminder of the day they first left the ground alone. aviationsoul.com. All right, let us start with the reason these minimums exist at all. Visual flight rules flying is built on one fundamental assumption. You can see traffic and avoid it. You are the radar. You are the collision avoidance system. Your eyes scanning outside are what keeps the sky safe in uncontrolled environments. So, the question the FAA had to answer when writing 9155 was, how much visibility does a pilot actually need to see a conflicting aircraft in time to do something about it? And the answer changes based on a few factors. How fast is traffic moving? How complex is the environment? Is ATC providing any structure or separation? The answers to those questions vary by airspace, and that is why the minimums vary by airspace. It is not arbitrary. Every number in that table is tied to a real operational consideration. Let us walk through airspace class by airspace class, Class Delta. This is your standard towered airport and the airspace surrounding it. Most student pilots spend a lot of time here early in training. The minimums in Class Delta are 3 statute miles of flight visibility. And you need to maintain 500 feet below any cloud, 1,000 feet above any cloud, and 2,000 feet horizontally from any cloud. You're going to see that pattern again, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. 3 statute miles Vs. It is the most common combination in the table. Why those numbers? Think about what a cloud represents from a traffic standpoint. A cloud is not just weather, it is a hiding spot. An instrument-rated pilot could be descending out of that cloud on an approach. An IFR aircraft on a departure climb could be climbing into it. They cannot see you. You cannot see them until they break out. Those cloud separation distances are the buffer that gives you reaction time when something invisible is about to become visible. The 3-mile visibility gives you enough forward distance to pick up traffic and have time to maneuver. Class Charlie works essentially the same way. Same 3 statute miles of visibility, same 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. Class Charlie airports have approach control radar. The environment is more structured, but the weather minimums are identical to Delta. Now here is where students often get surprised. Class Bravo. You might expect that the busiest controlled airspace would have the strictest weather minimums. In some ways it does. But the cloud clearance requirement in Class Bravo is just 3 words, clear of clouds, no specific distance, just clear of clouds. And the visibility is 3 statute miles. Why is Class Bravo less strict about cloud distance? Because Class Bravo is radar controlled. Every aircraft inside the Bravo is in communication with a controller. Separation services are being provided. ATC has a picture of where everyone is. You do not need the same buffer distance from clouds when the radar is supplementing what your eyes cannot do. The see and avoid assumption inside the Bravo is backed up by ATC surveillance. But hear this carefully, because it catches people. Clear of clouds does not mean you can skim along the underside of an overcast layer at 50 feet. It means you have to actually be clear, not in it, not grazing it, clear of it. That is the requirement. Now, let us talk about Class Echo. Class Echo covers a lot of territory. Surface-based Class Echo at airports without control towers, the transition areas around instrument approach procedures, the low-altitude airspace that covers most of the continental United States above the surface. Below 10,000 feet means sea level. The minimums in Class Echo are the same 3 statute miles, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal, same as Delta and Charlie. but at 10,000 feet means sea level and above, the numbers change. The visibility minimum goes to 5 statute miles, and the cloud distances grow to 1,000 feet below, 1,000 feet above, and 1 statute mile horizontally. That is a full statute mile of horizontal clearance from clouds, compared to the 2,000-foot requirement below 10,000. Here is something I wish someone had told me when I was still in training, that 10,000-foot threshold is mean sea level, not above ground level. If you are flying in mountainous terrain where the ground is already at 7,000 feet and you're cruising at 11,000 feet, you are 4,000 feet above the terrain. But you are above 10,000 mean sea level. The higher minimums apply. That is a distinction that catches Western pilots who are used to thinking in terms of how high they feel versus what the altimeter reads. The reason for the stricter high altitude minimums is closing speed. Aircraft at high altitude tend to move faster. Jets and turboprops share the airspace with general aviation aircraft. The time between first seeing traffic and reaching it is shorter when both aircraft are covering ground quickly. More visibility and more cloud clearance buys you the extra reaction time. The physics demand. Let us talk about class golf because this is where most of the confusion lives. Class golf is uncontrolled airspace. No radar, no active ATC sequencing traffic. In class golf, your eyes are the entire system, and the minimums reflect that. Here is the complexity. Class golf minimums are split across four different scenarios: altitude above ground level, time of day, and the 10,000-foot mean sea level threshold. Let us go through them one at a time. First scenario. Class golf, 1,200 feet above ground level or below during the day. This is the one that makes every student do a double take when they first see it. The visibility minimum is 1 statute mile. The cloud clearance requirement is clear of clouds, 1 statute mile visibility, clear of clouds during the day, in uncontrolled airspace. That is the legal minimum. And it is legal regulation 9155 says so. We will come back to whether legal means safe in a moment. Second scenario. Class golf, 1,200 feet above ground level or below. At night, night changes everything here. The minimums jump to 3 statute miles of visibility and you need 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. The same cloud clearance distances as Delta and Charlie. The reason for that jump is exactly what you would expect. During the day, the one thing that makes 1 mile visibility even marginally workable is your ability to pick up terrain, landmarks, obstacles, and traffic against a visual background. You can see a water tower, you can see a ridge line, you can see the strobes on another aircraft against the sky. At night, you lose that background. 1 mile of visibility in the dark is a very short runway for your eyes to do the work they need to do. So the minimum step up to 3 miles and bring in the full cloud clearance requirements. Third scenario, class golf. Above 1,200 feet above ground level, below 10,000 feet mean sea level, during the day. Here the visibility stays at 1 statute mile, same as the low altitude daytime scenario, but the cloud clearance comes back, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. You have moved up in altitude, you are still in class golf, but now you need to maintain distance from clouds even during the day. The logic is that once you're above 1,200 feet, you're in airspace that is more likely to have instrument traffic transiting above you or descending through the same layer. The cloud buffer becomes important at that point, even without controlled airspace. Fourth scenario. Class golf, above 1,200 feet above ground level, below 10,000 feet means sea level at night. 3 statute miles, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. Night adds the visibility and the cloud clearance, same as the low altitude night scenario. Now let us come back to the low altitude class golf daytime scenario. 1 statute mile, clear of clouds. That is legal. I'm not arguing with the regulation, but I want to spend a few minutes on what 1 statute mile actually looks and feels like from a traffic avoidance standpoint. At a normal cruise speed for a trainer, call it 90 to 100 knots, you're covering somewhere around 1.5 to 1.7 miles per minute. 1 statute mile of visibility forward gives you less than a minute before you arrive at what you're looking at. If another aircraft is coming toward you, also at 90 knots, the closure rate doubles. You're looking at maybe 20 to 30 seconds from first visual contact to conflict. 30 seconds sounds like a lot until you're actually trying to identify a target, determine its flight path, decide on an avoidance maneuver, and execute it, and that is assuming you see it immediately. Not after you finish scanning the gauges. Not after you look away for a second to adjust the radio immediately, the moment it enters your 1 mile visibility circle. This is the difference between legal minimums and personal minimums, and it matters. The regulation is a floor, not a recommendation. It is the absolute minimum the FAA determined that the average pilot in the average aircraft needs to legally operate under visual flight rules. It is not an endorsement of flying at those conditions. It is not a suggestion that 1 mile is a comfortable operating environment. Most instructors, myself included, tell their students to think of legal minimums as the point at which you should be on the ground, not the point at which you should be departing. Your personal minimums as a student or a newly certificated pilot should be well above the regulatory floor. Most training programs recommend a ceiling of at least 1,000 feet and visibility of at least 3 miles as student personal minimums, and that is still on the conservative side of what many CFIs prefer. The Airman Certification Standards, the document that defines what you need to demonstrate on your practical test, does not just ask you to recite the numbers from 9155. The examiner wants to see that you understand the principle behind the minimums and that you can apply sound aeronautical decision making. That means being able to look at a weather briefing and say, yes, this is legal. And then being able to say, here is whether I'm going. Those are two different questions, and the ACS cares about both. One more piece to cover, flight visibility versus ground visibility. This distinction matters when you are actually in the air. The minimums in 9155 refer to flight visibility. That is the average forward horizontal distance from the cockpit, at which prominent unlighted objects may be seen and identified by day, or prominent lighted objects may be seen and identified by night. It is what you can actually see from where you are sitting. Ground visibility is what gets reported in the METAR. It is what the weather observer or the automated station measures at the surface. In many conditions, those two numbers are close to each other, but they can diverge. You might have a ground visibility of 2 miles reported at the field while you're at cruise altitude looking at much better conditions ahead. Or you can have a situation where the ground station reports 3 miles, but you find yourself in haze at altitude where your forward visibility is less. The regulation says flight visibility. That is the standard you're actually being held to while you are airborne. If you're in the air and flight visibility drops below the applicable minimums for your airspace, you are now non-compliant with the regulation. That means you need to either change airspace, which is not always possible, or land. When you are planning a flight, use the forecast visibility and the METAR as your planning tools. But once you're airborne, your own assessment of what you can actually see is what the regulation is measuring you against. Let me give you a practical framework for using this table on a real flight. Before departure, I am checking the weather for my departure airport and my destination. I am looking at what airspace I will be flying through. If my route takes me through Class Delta airspace, I need 3 statute miles and the standard cloud clearances. If I'm cruising at low altitude through rural Class Golf airspace, I need to know what the daytime and nighttime transitions mean for my route, especially if my flight might go past civil twilight. When I'm doing a weather briefing, I note the ceilings. A scattered layer at 3,000 feet means I need to be 500 feet below it or 1,000 feet above it in controlled airspace. If I'm flying at 2,500 feet with a scattered layer at 3,000, I have 500 feet of separation below that layer. That is exactly the minimum. I am legal, but am I comfortable? Probably not. I'm going to want more buffer than that. The other thing I want you to think about is the difference between knowing this table and internalizing it. On your written test, you can look up the scenario and match it to the row in the table. On your practical test, the examiner is going to ask you a scenario question and expect an answer without hesitation. More importantly, in the actual airplane, making a weather minimums call in real time, you need to know this information the way you know your phone number. It should be reflexive. The way I teach it is the pattern. 3 statute miles, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. That is controlled airspace below 10,000. Bravo is the exception. 3 miles, clear of clouds. Golf adds the complexity at the low end. 1 mile clear of clouds during the day. 3 miles and full cloud clearance at night. And above 10,000, everything steps up to 5 statute miles and the wider cloud distances. Learn the pattern, learn the exceptions, and understand the why behind each of them. When you understand why, the exceptions stop being arbitrary and start making sense. Sources today include Federal Aviation Regulation 9155, the Aeronautical Information Manual Chapter 3, and the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards. The AIM has the full table in a clean format if you want to study it alongside the regulation text. Find us at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Know your minimums and know why they are the minimums. See you next time.